My name is Christine Luzecki. I am 60, almost 68 years old in a week and a half. Today is Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. And I'm speaking with Katie, who is my daughter, and we are recording this interview in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, my first question for you is, tell me a great story you know about an ancestor.
So, on my mother's side, I was told this story by Aunt Anna, my mother's sister, that my grandpa Zupan had a family member who got into a bar fight, and this would have been back probably in the 1920s, got into a bar fight and was killed.
Oh my.
In the process.
What?
And it was hilarious because Anna said it showed that he was a man of principle.
Oh, yeah.
And we all laughed and said he was probably just a drunk. Got into a bar fight because he always drank too much.
Really?
But the story that got passed down to Anna and my mother, Bernice, and Uncle Mylan was that he was such a man of principle that he had to defend his principles, and he ended up dead in a bar fight.
He probably was defending some principles.
Did
you know him?
No. This was way before I was born. But this was somebody on my mother's side of the family. This would have been a relative of Grandpa Zupan. And I just thought that was pretty interesting.
That is pretty
funny.
Isn't
that pretty funny?
Yeah, that is pretty
funny. So he died in a bar fight because he was a man of principles.
Can you even imagine that happening today?
No. When we heard the story, I don't know if it was Jane and I, we looked at each other and thought, man of principles, he was probably an alcoholic.
Right.
You know?
Oh, my.
Isn't that something?
That is.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah. All right.
What was his name?
I don't know. He was Grandpa's. He was a cousin or a brother of my Grandpa Zupan, and I don't know which. Yeah, it was one of my
brother. Now, didn't you say that he had a cousin when he moved here?
He had someone from the family that
was this that someone?
It could have been somebody that was living here, and came to the United States before Grandpa Zupan did.
Mm-hmm. And you said that was a cousin, so this must have been that.
Could have
cousin.
Been, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Right.
Okay. Are there any traditions that have been passed down through our family that you can tell me about?
I think the biggest tradition that I can think of is the Christmas Eve tradition.
Yeah.
Of the entire family being together on Christmas Eve. So that started when I was a very, very little girl, started with the Schrand family, Omi, Melba, Bill, Grandma Schrand had Christmas Eve. Going back many, many years, and back in the day when they lived on Pine Tree Lane, Grandma Schran lived in that house along with her children. And as the kids got older and some of them moved away and got married, but Omi, Melba, and Bill stayed in that house, and Aunt Jewel stayed in that house with Grandma Schran. So they always had Christmas Eve, and we would go over there for Christmas Eve, and they would even have, I think, people come dressed as Santa. And they would close off the doors in the house and get everything ready for Christmas, and then at whatever time we would get there, then they'd open the doors and there'd be this huge display of presents and stuff like that. So that
were there any other kids?
That would have been when I was very young.
Yeah.
So
it
would have
just been you and Judy.
Yes. And then as we started getting a little bit older, and then the other kids came along, Mike came along, Jane, Kay, and then eventually Tom, we still had Christmas Eve at the Schrand's house until we got older.
So it was your dad and your mom and you guys, and then Omi, Melba, and Bill.
Omi, Melba, Bill.
And your Grandma Shrand.
Grandma Shrand, and then, but she died when I was three, so I don't really have a lot of memory of her, but I just know that that's the tradition that we had, and the Shrands had... would always have a Christmas tree, and they would have those bubble lights on them. And the I remember that from, you know, being very young as those bubble lights, and I loved those bubble lights. And then, you know, over time, then the tradition sort of, you know, changed from that house to then we had a Grandma and Grandpa B's house. But that was when we were older and you guys were young.
How did that transition happen? That it kind of left his family... and starting to incorporate her family more with Anna.
Well, and that would have happened as, you know, well, after my mom and dad got married and settled into having a family and were living in Afton, you know, and then we moved on to Langley Road when I was 12. That would have been a tradition that would have started about that time, because I think at that time probably my mom and dad wanted to have their own tradition in their own home. So then Christmas Eve kind of transferred from the Shrands' house on Pine Tree Lane with Omi, Melba, and Bill to the Shrands' house on Langley with Bob and Bernice. But, you know, then everybody came to my mom and dad's house. You know, for Christmas Eve, we had Omi, Melba, Bill, Wilma, and Ben when they were still alive and healthy. Ben was, Uncle Ben was my dad's brother. Who had multiple sclerosis.
Who's Wilma?
And Wilma was his wife.
Oh, I don't even know
that. And they, you know, no, they were gone probably before you even... got to be much more than an infant.
Hear anyone talk about Ben.
No, but Ben was Ben was my dad's oldest brother.
I've heard of Jewel.
And Jewel was my dad's sister who died early in her 30s, had some kind of a heart condition. You know, like his dad did. His dad died when he was only two, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. So Grandma Shrand raised all those
Grandma
kids
Shrand
by herself?
Grandma Shrand raised six kids by herself because her husband died. Her husband died when her youngest son was two. Her youngest child was two when her husband died.
Who was that?
Grandpa. Grandpa B.
I know, but who was the child?
Grandpa
B. Grandpa
B.
Was the child.
Was the child. He's the youngest of the six kids. Uncle Ben was the oldest. So it was Ben and then Melba, Bill, Jewel, I think. Omi and Bob. So Aunt Omi and Grandpa B were the youngest of the family. And I think Aunt Omi was like 2 years older than Dad. So, and then Ben would have been probably 10 years older as the oldest. So if my dad was two and his dad died, the oldest was not much more than 12 years old.
Then what did she do
and
after
she,
that?
She, Grandpa Shrand, had, I think, a butcher shop, or he, you know, something that was sold, and she was able to live off of the money and raise her kids. She never went to work. She was basically a stay-at-home mom all those years and must have had enough money from the sale of a business that my Grandpa Shrand had, maybe with one of his brothers. You know what I'm saying? Something, some kind of a business was there that got sold, and then Grandma Shrand had the money to be able to take care of the kids. And so she never went back to work.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because it must have meant that there was enough money from the business. I mean, that is pretty significant that she did not have to go back to work. So the tradition, we were talking about traditions. Christmas Eve was a huge tradition in my family. That, I mean, we still do to this day.
Yeah, we do.
And now it's done at our house.
Are there any other traditions? Any Croatian traditions specifically?
No, not that are passed down to this day.
What about
foods? No. Unfortunately not. There was a Croatian meal that Grandma used to always make that my mother made, which was like a dish that was made with cabbage and ground beef.
Like
holubci, but it was a Croatian version. It was another name for it, but it was essentially the same food that was made. I remember that it was made quite a bit.
What about any sayings or phrases that?
No, I can't think
that your grandma would have said or.
No, I can't think of anything. Grandpa Zupan, used to say, "Oh Jesus," all the time. "Oh Jesus, what's the matter, you?" That's right, talking to Grandma.
Yeah.
When he would get aggravated with her.
Yeah.
"Oh Jesus, what's the matter, you?"
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But they spoke in Croatian a lot to each other.
Yeah.
You know, but not to us. I didn't learn Croatian. Now Grandma B and Anna spoke Croatian. I don't know that Uncle Milan did. He was the youngest in the family. But I know Grandma, my mom and Anna did speak Croatian, and they would sometimes speak in Croatian.
Cool.
Oh.
Are there any classic family jokes, stories, or songs that you can share with me?
I think that the only thing that comes to mind is when Jane and I started talking in W's.
Yeah.
When we were probably about 16 and let's see, she's probably maybe about 18 and 16.
Yeah.
And way we started way too old for it, but we developed this language where we spoke in W's because it used to drive our mother crazy and we thought it was hilarious. Because one day we were playing around in our bedroom, we shared a room at the time, and we were just being goofy, and I fell between the wall and the bed, and all of a sudden I just said, I'm walk, which caught on immediately. And we started laughing hysterically. And Grandma came walking down the hall, you know, paddling down the hall in her slippers because she always wore little slippers. "And what are you girls doing in there?" And we were laughing so hard we could barely. We're walk. Oh, and it just aggravated her. She thought it was so ridiculous because she thought we were too old for this.
Yeah.
You know. So as soon as we figured out that she was aggravated by it, we did it more and more.
Yeah.
And it became like this little, you know, language between the two of us.
Yeah.
When we were, you know, teenagers. And
yeah.
And we had a great time with it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, we had a great time with it. I know. So that was pretty funny.
Can you give me an example of a sentence you would have said?
"Why wister when why were wary wunny wet wet wime." Wary wunny. We wet a wait wime. Walking when wubba use.
Oh, yes, I'm sure your mother wove, was very
wove wema wazy.
I'm sure your mother was very impressed by that.
Yes, he was. "Wand wit wait us wery weppy, woo wive were wazy."
What?
"Wit wait us wery weppy,
woo
wive were wazy."
It would drive her crazy. It made you very happy when it drove her crazy.
Yes. Wes. What was wary wunny?
Oh, I bet it drove her crazy.
We went, "Well, which one?" Oh, when we went with Wanced.
Wanced.
Where we would we wigging witches. And we
digging ditches.
Yes, we were wigging witches. When we would wance wall round wall wigging room. Wigging witches.
You would dance around the living room digging ditches. as soon as you figured out winging witches, you
know? Well, Sue was white. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Well, Wes, awesome. We would wet. When we were wet long, we were white wold, actually. Waiting.
Right. Actually.
Oh, actually. Oh. Well, that's quite a story. White, well, worry.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, Wes.
That's hilarious. Mm.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Next question.
Tell me the story of how you met Dad.
Oh, yeah. For 6 months, friends of mine, Vicki and Mike Abel, I worked with Vicki at St. Louis University Hospital in the CVR. And we met there. And Vicki was dating Mike Abel at the time. Well, she's married to him now. They were dating. And Vicki and I became friends. Mm-hmm. And then as a result, I became friends with Mike. I met him too. So they both decided that they needed to, Mike had a friend named Greg. And he wanted to fix me up with Greg.
Oh.
And so for, I bet, at least 6 months, they kept trying to fix us up. I was all for it. I was like, yeah. Sure. And Dad never wanted to get fixed up.
Oh.
Never.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. He didn't want any part of it. Mm-mm. So I thought, okay, well, whatever, you know, didn't think much more about it. Until Mike and Vicki decided that they were going to get married, and Vicki asked me to be in the wedding, and Mike and Greg were good friends, so Mike asked Greg to be in the wedding too, and so they were like, okay, you guys are going to be in our wedding, and we're going to put you together, walking together, you know, down the aisle. You will be partners. And I'm sure they felt that that would be a perfect way for us to get to know each other.
Yeah. Wow. So, those tricksters.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how
they wanted to fix you up.
They wanted to fix us up, and it wasn't working out because Dad did not want to get fixed up. So, had they not, you know, gotten married and decided to have us both in their wedding, we may have never met.
Yeah.
You know.
That's crazy.
But they ended up, you know, they ended up getting engaged and getting married, and so we were in their wedding, and that's how we met.
Wow.
Yeah. We met that. Yeah. Well, we didn't really meet at the rehearsal dinner, but I saw him for the first time at the rehearsal dinner, and I thought he was very handsome.
Yeah.
And then we met at the wedding the next day.
Did you know that that was who they were trying to set you up with when you saw him at the rehearsal dinner?
I think I was told. There's Michael's friend Greg.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought he was very handsome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when you met him at the wedding?
Well, the night of the rehearsal dinner, I had taken a date.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a date for the rehearsal dinner. Some guy I'd been going out with, and I remember when I looked up, I can sort of see your dad walking into the room, and somebody, Vicki must have said, "That's Greg," and I was like, "Oh, okay, he's pretty darn cute," you know. And I thought, I'm glad that I don't have a date for the wedding. I was glad that I had not decided to bring a date to the wedding.
So. What was this guy's name that you were dating?
Mitch.
Oh, Mitch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you brought Mitch to the rehearsal dinner.
Mitch to the rehearsal dinner.
You told me he was not allowed to come to the wedding.
I did not want him to come to the wedding. Well, I'm pretty sure at the time I thought, okay, I'm going to be busy with this wedding. I'm going to be sitting at the bride's table.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even be able to sit with him,
yeah.
you know, for dinner. I mean, he doesn't know anybody. That's not going to be any fun for him.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that that's how I explained it to him. Because I do have a memory of that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is not going to be any fun for you.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to be able to be with you. So then I remember looking at your dad and thinking, he is really handsome, and I really would like to meet him, and I'm really glad that I'm not bringing Mitch to the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
So did you know that he was going to be in that wedding before you even signed up for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, I mean, Vicky asked me to be in her wedding, and I said yes. And then Michael asked Greg.
And she told you, oh, that guy we're trying to fix you up with is also going to be in the wedding. So you knew that ahead of time. Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't know anything about him.
Right.
Other than this is Michael's friend, Greg, that they've been trying to fix me up with for 6 months that doesn't want to go out with me because he doesn't want to go on a blind date.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember him as being very tall, dark, and handsome, and kind of the tall, dark, handsome, silent type because he wasn't a big talker.
Yeah, that describes him well.
Yeah. And so that was the first night that I, the night of the rehearsal dinner was the first time I set eyes on him. And then the next night at the wedding, then we were paired up in the wedding. So he was my partner. And so we spent time together. And then I remember the dance that they have with the bride and groom, you know, when it's the wedding party dance is when we, you know, had our little dance together that...
Yeah.
Was very nice.
Yeah. So you had a chance to get to know him a
little bit. A little bit.
What did you think about him then?
I really liked him. I was just really, I was like, ooh, you know, he's really cute. But I was going out with somebody at the time. I was dating Mitch and we were in a relationship and I was, you know, I was just kind of confused at the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff going on in my life.
Did you kind of tell him, you know?
We actually did go out on a date. We did have a date after that. And I remember he came. I was living in an apartment at the time. He came to the door with a rose, a single red rose. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. It was very sweet.
I can't even imagine that. Can't even imagine that today.
Yeah, he did that. And I think that, I mean, I remember being very, I thought that was very sweet and, you know, and I really thought he was very nice and I liked him.
He was trying to woo you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I had been in this relationship with Mitch for a long time, you know, so and I was trying to decide what I wanted about that, you know, so it was just not the right time for me, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember telling your dad, you know, I really like you and I really enjoy being with you, but I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with this other person in my life, you know.
And what did he
say? He basically said, okay, you know, I mean, that's fine, but if you change your mind, let me know.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then after, I mean, seriously, probably a year, almost a year went by.
Wow.
Maybe not that long, but I kind of forget the time frame. When I finally decided Mitch was not the one for me, and I called your dad.
Yeah.
And I said, so I'm not seeing that guy anymore, you know, would you like to get together? And he was like, I'm in a relationship now.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah.
And I said to him, if it doesn't work out, give me a call.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Wow.
You know?
And then when did you hear from him again?
And then, well, we met, what did he say the other night? 1982. We met in 82 when the Abels got married, and we didn't start actually dating until 84.
Oh, wow. So it was probably 2 years later.
About 2 years later.
Wow.
You know, but I remember thinking in that time period of 2 years, I remember thinking a lot. My thoughts would go back to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wonder what he's doing. You know, that kind of stuff. So we never forgot about each other.
Yeah.
You know, but our paths just kind of took different directions.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I know, isn't it crazy? And then
so he called you up one day and he was like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you wanna go out?
Yeah.
I said, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went I remember going out for dinner. And I don't know if that was like the first time that we went out, you know, after we hadn't seen each other, but I remember going out to dinner with him one time and we talked about astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about black holes. We talked about corks.
Typical.
We talked about books we had read.
Do you even know what a cork is?
I didn't. Is a cork? He was. I couldn't even tell you now. But I remember. I was thinking, oh my goodness, this guy is so interesting. He's so smart. He's so interesting. And we're talking about books we've read. And I was just like, wow, this is cool. Yeah. You know, this is really stimulating to me.
That's awesome.
And then we did end up one of the first dates we had after we hadn't seen each other in a long time was we went out to lunch, and I had I forgot where we went, but I remember I had this red sundress on, and he still remembers to this day that dress that I wore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have to tell you about that.
Was that the one with the flowers on it?
No. Yeah. This was an actual sundress. It was, you know, kind of open, and it had little straps and everything. Yeah. And it was summer, so I probably had a tan.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And he still remembers that sundress.
Yeah, he remembers that red dress that I wore that day.
Do you still have it? Uh-uh. No.
No, long gone. I wish I still had it, though.
Yeah. Oh. Well, when did you know that he was the one?
Well, I think it was probably that luncheon that we had where I wore that red dress, because we had a really good time. Mm-hmm. I was very excited.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember thinking, you know, I think this has definitely got some potential here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a great time. And then the rest is history after that.
The rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Can you tell me about your wedding day?
We got married at the Oakland House, which is a historic home in Afton. So, and it was in February, and it was cold.
Oh.
And I think it might have even been snowing. And we had, we got married by a minister from United Church of Christ minister? Anyway, so we found a minister to marry us at the Oakland House. We didn't get married in a church, but we did get married by a minister, and then we had the reception right there, so that was really fun. And then, well, there's quite a story to that.
Yeah, tell it.
Well, because we were planning on getting married. We had gotten engaged. We were planning on getting married in June.
Ah.
And that would have been June of 1986. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, in December of 1985, I found out I was pregnant with you.
Wow.
So, it's like, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not getting married till June. Wait a minute. That may not work well, because at the time I was really, really afraid to tell my parents that I was pregnant, because I just was, you know. Yeah. It was just the way I was raised, you know. Right. So I was very, very scared about telling them that I was pregnant. I didn't know what we were going to do. I knew that we couldn't, like, wait until June, right. You know, and so we decided, okay, we're just going to move the wedding up and we're going to get married in February. And we just told Grandma and Grandpa that we decided, we decided we just want to get married earlier. We don't want to wait. But I was petrified that they were going to find out that I was pregnant before the wedding, because I was really afraid that if they found out, they'd be really upset and they would ruin everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I kept it a secret from everybody but Jane.
Ah,
and
yes.
Maybe Judy knew. Yeah. Judy knew. I'm not really sure. I can't remember that, but I know that Jane knew I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Outside of that, maybe only one other person, and that would have been Judy. And, of course, Jane was sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, of course.
And so when we got married, I was probably 2 months pregnant.
Yeah.
No, maybe not even.
You were more pregnant than that.
Well, let's see. If I found out I was pregnant in December and you were born in August, And we got married February 8th. So I was maybe 3 months pregnant.
3 months,
and I
yeah.
was so sure that I was going to be showing and that everybody would know I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And when I look at pictures now, I think there's no way.
No.
No.
I look at pictures now.
No. But I remember going shopping for my wedding dress with Grandma and being absolutely certain she was going to know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And see that I was pregnant. Yeah. You know, it's really funny.
Did they ever say anything?
Well, okay.
After when I was born, did they ever say?
Well, no. No, I'll tell you the story. The day after we got married mm-hmm. and we were leaving for our honeymoon, we were going to Florida, to Clearwater, Florida. We went by the house and said, we got something to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm pregnant. And they were so happy.
Yeah.
They were so excited.
Aww.
So all of my worries were for naught.
Oh.
But it was so funny because I really was so afraid that if they knew I was pregnant beforehand, that they would be so upset by that they would ruin the wedding.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I don't want my wedding ruined. I'm just not going to tell them until after we're married. So the very next day I told them.
Yeah.
And they were thrilled.
Oh.
Especially Grandma.
Yeah.
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 And then we, so that was, So we had a really nice wedding and reception at the Oakland mm-hmm. House. It was really special.
Do you remember what you were feeling at all?
Excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very excited.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous. Yeah. Of course I was nervous, but I was very excited.
Were you like, oh my God, what am I doing?
No, I wasn't thinking, what am I doing?
Well, you were pregnant.
But
so
I was
like,
pregnant.
Well.
Yeah. I was pregnant, and
so you were excited.
I was excited. I was excited. Yeah, absolutely. Aww. I was excited.
That's a great feeling.
And we went to Clearwater, Florida, and we had a lot of fun. We went to this place called Tarpon Springs Sponge Factory, which
I know who picked that out.
I know, because You gotta go to the sponge factory while you're there. Yeah. But I remember the day that we were getting ready to leave, we could see outside the condo, and the water was right there, and we saw these wonderful dolphins swimming.
Oh,
yeah.
What a nice honeymoon.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Aww.
Yeah, it was great.
I was excited.
Your new life. Yes. We're gonna start our new life, and
aww.
and you were there.
I was there.
And you were there.
I was there. Wow,
you
that's
were there.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was ecstatic.
I bet.
I was having a baby. Didn't know whether I was having a girl or a boy. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know.
Was that a total surprise? You didn't know?
Oh, I'm totally surprised.
Because people didn't have that ability back then?
No.
What?
I remember checking my... I remember before I went... I worked in the CCU at the time, CCU CVR, and it was a morning that I was getting ready to go to work, and I guess my period was late, and I thought, well, and I had a pregnancy test, and I better check this, and it was in the morning before I was getting ready to go to work, and I was like... My God, it's positive.
How'd you even go to work after that?
I was crazy. I thought, I cannot believe that I'm pregnant. Yeah. I never thought that this would happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Was Dad there?
Oh, yeah. I was so excited, and I'm sure, and I woke him up, you know, and I'm sure he's like, what?
Did you just wake him up?
I'm sure, yeah, because it was early. I had to be at work so early, so I'm sure he was still sleeping, you know? And then I remember, now I don't know if it was this particular day or it was another day during the course of my early pregnancy where there was a patient, taking care of a patient that had CMV.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And I was very, very concerned about that and had to tell somebody, that cannot be my patient.
Yeah.
I can't take care of that patient because I'm pregnant, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think I ended up having to tell them before I really wanted to.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to run any risks of any issues.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So, I guess moving back to you and Dad and your relationship mm-hmm. and your wedding and your marriage, What would you say are the keys to a strong relationship?
Communication.
Yeah.
Having a commitment mm-hmm. to you're going to work it out no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Respect for each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, I guess what I'm thinking is, you know, it starts with excitement about starting this new life together.
Right.
And it's all this,
right.
this really exciting, giddy, you know, you're kind of on a high of mm-hmm. a new relationship mm-hmm. and all the fun, fuzzy feelings mm-hmm. that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now, 32 years later.
Let's see, you're 31, soon to be 32. So we're coming up onto our 32nd anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Dad and I is that we had no time to be just a couple.
Yeah.
When we got married.
Right.
Because I was pregnant with you.
Right.
And then very shortly after that, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you came along. And
yeah.
so we had no time to
yeah,
just
true.
Establish our own relationship as a couple before we started having kids,
yeah.
which is, I think, an important thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, for me to give advice to anybody, the way we did it probably is not the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important to have mm-hmm. time together as just a couple before
yeah.
you start having kids.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in the cards for us.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, would I change it?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, because it was wonderful to have you and then to have Michael come along.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that it's ideally what you would want to do is to have some time to yourselves and
mm-hmm.
get settled into a relationship before you start having kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be a good piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
From me to
you.
And
then you were saying communication and commitment.
Commitment. Of
mm-hmm.
course you have to love that person.
Yeah.
You know. But you start out a relationship and you think, you know, everything's going to be rosy and wonderful all the time. And then you get into your daily life and
mm-hmm.
raising children and whatnot. And you realize that, you know, you're gonna have some bumps along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out how you're going to deal with that and stay strong and
mm-hmm.
stay committed and want to be with each other. So I think us getting involved in marriage enrichment helped a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Are there any particular instances that you remember that, you know, you feel really challenged you or that you guys really had to kind of come together to work?
I remember after Michael was born,
mm-hmm.
especially, it was a challenging time for us. And sometimes when I think back on it, I wonder if I had postpartum depression.
Oh yeah.
I think I could have after
mm-hmm.
he was born. Yeah. So that was a challenging time for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we had to work through that. And that could have been about the time when we started getting involved in marriage enrichment because
mm-hmm.
we were searching for something to help us out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a challenging time, and that would have been, Michael came in 1988, so that was probably like in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
19, yeah. He was born in November of 88, so
mm-hmm.
it was probably 1989 into 1990.
What was so challenging about it? You were
I just remember it as a tough time. And like I said, I think I look back on it and I think, you know, part of it could have been, and I wouldn't have realized at the time, postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And just the stuff that comes along with feeling depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like what? Like you were not wanting to get out of bed, or I mean, what? Because it's different for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Just I think I believe at the time, looking back on it, that I was just depressed. Now,
yeah.
No, I could. Yes, I could get out of bed.
Yeah.
Yes, I could. You know, function, do what I needed to do,
mm-hmm.
but just probably, you know, feeling depressed about different things and not knowing how to. How to get through that and how to deal with it.
Yeah. remove the chips from our interview room.
That was challenging for us back then.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it lasted a little bit, a little time. And we had to, you know, we had to struggle through that and work through it and try to find ways of positively dealing with it.
So it was marriage enrichment.
So I think that was probably about the time when we started doing marriage enrichment, because we were looking for something to help us out.
Yeah.
You know, because we didn't want to, you know, like just walk away from it.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
You feel like times had gotten pretty tough and you really needed something.
We needed something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it could, and honestly, it could have been, you know, it's easy to look back and say, well, it could have been this, could have been that. But I really think that we started our marriage with me being pregnant,
mm-hmm.
you know, having one child very quickly, and then, you know, a couple years later having another child. And so all we knew mm-hmm. in the beginning was being kids. Parents and taking yeah. care of kids.
Yeah, right. You
know, we didn't have an opportunity
to really get to know each other and
to cement our relationship as a couple
mm-hmm.
because the kids were there immediately.
Yeah.
Or I was pregnant immediately.
Right.
So pregnancy, I was in a different yeah. state. I was yeah. pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The entire time, I mean, from the moment we got married, you know, I was not probably myself, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty amazing now, 32 years yeah. later.
Yeah.
And you guys have a great relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And yeah. I think that's, you know, it's just we made a commitment a long time ago that mm-hmm. we were going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we learned a lot of things through marriage enrichment to mm-hmm. help us, you know, get through times where we needed extra
mm-hmm.
help,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and, but we, you know, sometimes we talk about that and I say, you know, yeah, we were from the get-go. We didn't have Katie immediately, but I was pregnant with her. So mm-hmm. that altered, mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of things about right. our relationship as newlyweds.
Right. Yeah. But it's a testament to your strength that you made it through all yeah. of that. And look at you guys now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Happy as clams. Just laughing at his jokes.
Always laughing at his jokes. Yep.
Yep. Oh, that's funny. And I think we've kind of touched on this too, but share some lessons you have learned from your relationship.
I think one of the biggest lessons that I have learned over the years is that dad's stuff and his feelings and his thoughts on things are equally as important as mine.
Mm.
There was a time early on when I thought that all that really counted was how I felt about something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way now.
And it took me a while to realize that his thoughts and feelings were valid too.
Yeah.
Not just mine.
Right.
And I had to learn. I had to learn to really listen to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I grew up in a family where my mother was very strong and dominant,
mm-hmm.
and my father acquiesced to her. And so I grew up seeing my mother have her way with everything.
Yeah.
And so, and Grandpa didn't fight her too much, you know. So I grew up thinking that whatever the woman said kind of was the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, I married a man who was not at all like my father
mm-hmm.
and wasn't going to stay silent about
right.
things. So that was an adjustment for me.
Yeah.
You know, was to learn how to deal with that and to become, you know, and to get to a point where I understood that his thoughts and feelings were just as important as mine.
As yours.
Yeah.
Well, we have only 30 seconds left
oh.
of time on this interview.
Okay.
So I think we'll have to, I want to take some time to say thank you for your time and sharing all this stuff with me. It's been great.
Oh, so. It's been great sharing with you. I love you.
I love you too. And we'll continue it. We'll continue. I know we have many more stories.
Yes.
I know you have many more stories to share.
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. Okay. Oh. So when do you think you'll be listening to all of this?